It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Numbers, if you remember, and we're going to begin in the first chapter, and we just finished the almost the first chapter last time we were together. We're kind of doing a very quick survey of the book of Numbers, going on to Deuteronomy and on to Joshua, and so please that you look, and we're going to read the 46th verse here in just a few minutes. And while you're looking this up, Numbers chapter 1, verse 46, while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now so we can begin the study. We're not reading many verses, but we're going to look at a lot of verses today. So I hope that you are able to at least have a pen and pencil in your hand. If not, I hope that you can remember these scripture verses to look them up later. Numbers chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 46. And we're going to read verse 46 and 47 and those two verses only today. And then get ready to get started with the study. So Numbers chapter 1, verse 46. Even all they that were numbered were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you for the day, and thank you for your precious word. I ask that we depend upon that, that we know that our only strength, our only power comes through your precious word, through your precious Holy Spirit, as He speaks to us, builds us up, strengthens us, makes us more like You. So please, dear Lord, today that we will grow. I hope today that there are more added to the family of God, that folks are saved through this study. I hope that they come by faith to You and recognize that they're a sinner and they're lost and they need salvation. I hope through this study today that your word will penetrate their heart and they will trust you and invite you into their heart to save you. Please today that the salvation be many today that will be saved and begin this wonderful growth and for the first time to really truly have life. I just ask for your strength and your direction, dear Lord. Now please guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're going to drop back to Exodus very quickly here, and there's a very good purpose and very good reason for it, because as we look back at Exodus chapter 30, and we're going to look at the 11th verse, Exodus chapter 30, verse 11, and as we read this, I want to, first of all, I guess, I hope that you didn't turn away from the book of Numbers, because as we look at the beginning of the chapter of Numbers, chapter 1, it said, "The Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, on the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male, by their poll, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies." They're to be numbered. But let's check, and we didn't take time. Number one, we looked at this almost the whole chapter. We looked at the tribes. We're going to look at their location today. But I want you to see that this is one of the first times here that God spoke from the tabernacle. He's no longer on Mount Sinai. He's in the tabernacle. And we're also, I hope to get far enough, that we're going to talk about the Shekinah glory cloud today too. So, but first, I want to take you back. They were told to number them. We read, before we had prayer, we read in this first chapter the total number, and that number is 600,000, 600,000, and 3,000. So it'd be 603,550. And that is only the males 20 years old and upward, not counting minus the Levites, And so, 20 years and upward is this number. And so, 603,550. Now, you think about that. That doesn't count the children, and it does not count those that are under the age of 2019 and down. It does not count the women. And so you can see why I keep using the number of 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3 million people is what we had here as they moved forward. And so now that we look at this, I want to come over, and we have read chapter 1, verses 1 through verse 3, and we see that the count was to be from 20 years old and upward. All right, now I want to take you back to Exodus, Exodus chapter 30. It's, I sent you there just a little bit ago. We're going to read from verse 11 to verse 16, because this is something that trouble was caused from time to time, because they did not do this. They numbered without doing this. Now listen carefully to see what this is. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them. When thou numberest them, this they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, from 20 years old and above, shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall give no more, the poor shall give no less than a half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. You remember where that silver went to? Remember where part of that silver ended up? It ended up in the foundation of the tabernacle. Remember those blocks that they made? And then the gold walls, the gold, the wood overlaid with, acacia wood overlaid with gold, they was placed in that all the way around. And remember the foundation, there was 100 blocks. And those 100 blocks was placed properly in the sand. You see, my God, our religion, the God that we serve, the God that we worship, everything is built upon the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood. And even this tabernacle, always in the Scripture, we have this verse of Scripture here that speaks of the atoning blood. The silver stands for atonement. And the only way we have atonement is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that you see that. I hope that you don't miss that. Now, the connection I want to make between Exodus chapter 30, and you may want to note this, and Numbers chapter 1, when they counted these people, these men, these young men, 20 years old and upward, and we came to the total number of 603,550, there was a half a shekel given by each. They represented themselves and or their families, depending on the situation. But there was a half a shekel given for every one when they were numbered. And as we move a little forward here, we find that also the Levites were numbered. They were not numbered here because these were numbered for the army. They were numbered. But also we find in the third chapter, verse 14 and 15, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward shalt thou number. You see, it was different. The other was for an army, and this here was numbered for the purpose of service in the tabernacle. And so I wanted you to go back and remember that half a shekel. Remember that foundation of silver that's under that tabernacle. And now, we have numbered the people. We have taken quite a bit of time, or some time anyway, to talk about the Day of Atonement. We have not talked about the other feasts that are done on a yearly basis. We have first the Passover, then the Feast of First Fruits, then the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacle. Now, each of those not only has a purpose, and the main purpose is what it means. They had their certain offerings. They did it at the exact time that God said to do it, because there is a calendar of events here. And the Passover stands for the death of the Lord Jesus, and we know that Jesus died. He is the Passover lamb, the scripture tells us. Then he rose again 3 days later after he died and was buried, and that's a feast of first fruits, resurrection. Next we have the Feast of Pentecost. That's the birth of the church. You know, we have the Passover, the death of the Lord Jesus. 3 days later he rose again. And after that 3 days, then we have 40 days before Jesus ascended, and then we have another 10 days, so it's 7 weeks plus one is what we have, 50 days, and we come to this Feast of Pentecost. Well, we find that that's when the church was birthed, when it was born at the Feast of Pentecost. Remember, that's when we have Peter and the disciples stood up and they said, "What is this? These are unlearned men. How can they speak in such a way? How can they say such things when they're unlearned men? They're speaking in a tongue that's so common. It's totally, completely my dialect." Well, that was the birth of the church. That's when the Holy Spirit came down and started the church. What a wonderful day. And that's the church age we're in right now. Now, the Feast of Trumpets, the fourth feast, we find to be the rapture and the second coming. It includes both of those events. And so the first, of course, the sounding of the trumpet will be for the saved, and that will be the rapture of the church. And then the Day of Atonement stands for the tribulation period, the seven-year period. And then the Feast of Tabernacles is the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years. But this Feast of Trumpets, again, the trump will sound twice. It's going to sound once when he calls his church home, and then it's going to sound again when he comes down at the close of the tribulation period. But it had been a while since we had looked at those feasts, and that's something that they're going to take care of every year. And so I wanted you to see that and take a look at that. Now, let's look, because we find in the second chapter, and again I said we're going to kind of move very quickly here, we have numbered the tribes, and if you'll remember the tribes, and I hope that these are common names, names that you're familiar with, because we're going to use them several times, and they are names that are very important, because God will call the 12 tribes of Israel home. And that's going to take place during the tribulation period, and they will have their reign again during the millennial reign of Christ. But in Numbers here, in verse 20, we have Reuben, and then 22 Simeon, 24 Gad, 26 Judah, 28 Issachar, 30 Zebulun, 32 Joseph. Joseph, remember, gets a double blessing. Ephraim and Manasseh is in the 32nd and 34th verse. Then we have Benjamin in verse 34, and Dan in verse 38, Asher in verse 40, Naphtali in verse 42. Now, if you would count those, you'll find they're just 11. Levites are over here in verse 47 of the first chapter. Those are the 12 sons of Jacob, of Israel. Now, those 12 sons have been dead for many years. But we find that when they went into Exodus at the beginning, we find that to be in the area of 1700 years, 1600 years, it's almost right in the range of 1700 years before the birth of Christ. Now, if you look at Numbers here, we're at 1500 or a little less. And so from the time that they went into Egypt, when the Jacob and his sons went into Israel, went in from Israel into Egypt, we find that in the range of 1700, and now we're at 1500, so 200 years have passed. So we know that the sons of Jacob are dead, but they have also multiplied from the 70 souls that went in, and that was counting the everybody of Jacob's family, every part of it, servants and all. There were 70 souls that entered into Egypt, and some 603,550 males 20 years old and up. Not counting the children and the women, not counting others that were with them, but that was just 603,550, and so they went from 70 souls with total to this number only being those 20 years old and upward, and so. Look at the multiplying. They went from 70 souls to somewhere between 2 to 3 million would be my estimation. And so in that short period of 200 years, that has taken place. You see why the Egyptians were worried about them, because they had multiplied so fast, so quickly. Well, that was God's plan. He birthed the nation of Israel. And so we have them. We have these 12 sons. Again, you're going to notice that Levite is not counted. You'll find that when the land is given out, when we get to the to that place in Joshua, you're going to find, and if you look on a map, you won't find Levite. The Levites have no land, but you'll also not find the name Joseph. But you're going to find Manasseh and Ephraim, which is Joseph's two sons. They possess land. Joseph, because of who he was and what he did, he got a double blessing. And so you'll see that as we go through here. Now, we come to the second chapter. So they've been numbered, and we find that the Levites here were not numbered because they were numbered for an army, and the Levites are not to be a part of that. So we come down to chapter 2 now, and we come to chapter 2. Not only did they number the people, but also they arranged them. And so there is a proper place, and we have a banner, if you want to, the standard or a banner, if you would use that name, that they was under. And for instance, Dan, he was the primary, and underneath Dan, his banner was an eagle, and the colors of that banner was red and white. Standing with Dan, and we find as we stand with Dan, he is on the north side of the tabernacle being in the center. This is what you'll find. We're not going to take time to read the second chapter, but that's what you'll find, the standard and where they're arranged. And so I guess we should have really started to the east, because that is Judah. Judah is to the east of the tabernacle. The tabernacle is open from the east, going westward to the holy place, Holy of Holies. And so when you'd enter into the courtyard, you would come from the east, going west. And at that entrance area, we find that there is another standard or banner, and that's a lion. It is green in color. Judah is the head of that section there, of that area. And standing with him, underneath the same banner, you'll find Issachar and Zebulun. And so Judah is the head. It's a lion, and it is green in color. And they always assembled in the same place. You see, they moved this tabernacle from time to time whenever the Lord so spoke. And so moved, and we'll, I don't know if we're going to get that far tonight, today, but we might. But when they did, why, they would line up and they would march in a certain way. But also when they camped, they would camp every time the same way. Judah was always to the east. Under Judah was Issachar and Zebulun, and they were under the banner of the lion. And then if we would come to the south, around the tabernacle, on the south side of the tabernacle, you'll find another banner. This banner is of a human head, red in color, and Reuben is the head of this. Simeon and Gad are with him. We come around to the west side. On the west side, what we would call the back of the tabernacle, closest to the Holy of Holies, but you can't enter that way. You've got to come around through the door, through the gate, through by the altar. Remember, you can't get, you cannot get to Jesus without going to the cross. You can't get into this place of rest here without going by the altar and then the laver for the cleansing and then on into the tabernacle. But we find Ephraim to be the one. They are standing under the standard or under the banner of the ox. And with him, we find is Benjamin and Manasseh. That is in yellow in color. And then, as I said earlier, at the top of the north, north side, we find Dan. And Dan is an eagle. Red and white are the colors. They're under this, this banner. And beside him, and next to him, is Asher and Naphtali. So if you'll notice, we have 12 tribes. Let's start again with Judah. Judah has Issachar and Zebulun, so there's three. Reuben, he has Gad and Simeon, that's six. Ephraim has Benjamin and Manasseh, that would come to nine. And then we come to the north side of Dan. Dan has Naphtali and Asher, that is 12. If you'll notice, the Levites are not listed here. They are not a part of this. We are going to encircle them around the inside of the tabernacle, not in the tabernacle itself, but outside the courtyard, but closer. We have, if you would draw a circle, a very large circle, and then right in the center of that, make a little box and draw the tabernacle. And then at the outside of this circle, why, put Judah to the east, Reuben to the south, Ephraim to the west, Dan to the north. Go back to the east, Judah, put Issachar and Zebulun, and draw a lion. Come south to Reuben, put Gad and Simeon with him. And then we have this human head here, and it's under that standard. We come to Ephraim to the west, put Benjamin and Manasseh with them. We have an ox there. And then go to the north side with Dan, Ad, Asher, and Naphtali, and that's under an eagle. And so each time that standard would be held, when they would stop and they would go to this, this place. And so you see everything. There is nothing in God's plan, and we shouldn't worship any different, that it isn't just completely 100% organized. I mean, down to the smallest thing, it is organized. It's so smooth, and there is not this upset in the service, and it is very, very peaceful, very calming. It is rewarding to come to a church service that you're going to come and you're going to hear from God. And there's nothing as far as being the disruption or anything. It's very organized, very calm. A blessed service is the way it should be. God did the same thing here with this tabernacle. He put this thing together. He put the tabernacle together, and he assigned these 12 tribes. And again, you'll see that we don't have Joseph there, do we? Because Ephraim and Manasseh, they are receiving a double blessing. And so those blessings are wonderful. And if you'll notice that the one, Ephraim, is the head. Manasseh is a side of him, and Benjamin's on the other side. Joseph's not listed. Let's go back to the east side of the tabernacle. You've got this outer circle. We've placed all these tribes there, all the families there. Now we have one family left, and that family is the family of Aaron. Now the sons of Aaron, the immediate descendants of Aaron, are at the east, at the entrance of the tabernacle. And then there are four family members, three family members beyond the immediate sons, and there's the Kohathite, Gershonite, and Merarites, and they are encircled around. Aaron is at the east, the Kohathites are to the south, the Gershoms is on the west, and then we have the final one, the Merarites, Merarites, and they are to the north. Every time that they would camp, this is exactly the location of all the families. God does it right. He does it so organized. And that's the second chapter. That's the second chapter. And then and you can see these family members here if you look to chapter 3 of the Levites. So you can see that I didn't make those up. Go to the 17th verse. They get numbered in verse 15. Verse 17, you have those family, the sons of Levi by their names. And so they also all have a purpose and a main purpose. And so you see, we have now the tabernacle built. We have the arrangement of how they camp. We also have an arrangement of how they move each time. We have the order of the princes. We have the order of who cares for the lampstand and all those things. And then we find that we get each time the cleansing, everything's a part of it. And I didn't know if I was going to get that far, and I kind of moved a little quicker than I wanted to. But in the 9th chapter of Numbers, and you write this down, chapter 9, verse 15, on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening, there was reared the cloud, covered the tabernacle, named the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, appeared a fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and appearance of fire by night. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed, and in a place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. And we're going to start there next week, because that is the way they move. And it's not long that we're going to get to Kadesh Barnea. We went to Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, and that's where they send the spies in. I hope that you're a little bit familiar. I hope you're very familiar with this. But if you're not, why, we're going to help you just to where you're hungering and thirsting after the Word of God, after righteousness. And so I hope that you see that God has come down here to meet with these people. The purpose of the nation of Israel is to tell all the world about God, His salvation. Well, Israel didn't do a very good job. He called the church. Now that's our job. Our job is to tell all the world about Jesus, the Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary. Will you please come by faith to the Lord Jesus? We have this nation. We have the birth of this nation. We have everything here in place, and we're beginning to move. Oh, I hope that you don't miss a time here, that you can't enjoy this with us. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?